So today, to get to the message here, I want to talk about the protests that we see going on all around us in our world. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8, there's a time for everything. There's a time to love, and there's a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. And my question this morning is this that time? The death of George Floyd has caused nationwide protests against police corruption and systematic racism. So people out in the streets are protesting. This is wrong. But the protests quickly turn violent, and they're burning buildings down, private businesses, personal property, public property, looting, vandalizing, ambushing and beating police officers and innocent bystanders who happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, pulling innocent people out of their cars, throwing frozen water bottles and worse things at police officers, yelling and screaming and making obscene gestures at the police officers. And if you watch this, what I would tell you, this has been unnerving. It has been unsettling. The question, and I don't know how deep we can go. I'm just throwing it out there, just to, as something to get things started here. Is it justifiable? Don't answer that. Okay. Is there a time that we must protest? And I'm going to give you a couple of verses. I read these verses last week, I think. Micah 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Proverbs 31, verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And there are times we must protest. There are times we must speak up. There are times we must fight for justice against oppression, the injustices, the discriminations. And I want to talk a lot about that next week. Next week, I want to have a special emphasis on the American Revolution. Was that just? We'll see where that goes. I'm getting really excited about next week's sermon, which is a problem because I got to preach this sermon today. Okay, but so there is a time that we must, I want to say fight back, but must we break windows? Must we burn buildings and yell and scream and cuss at police officers? And I would tell you no. Are these riots, is the violence, is it helpful? Is it productive? And my answer is no. My answer is this is not of God. This movement does not have my sympathy or my support, and I will not support the violence or the anarchy or the lawlessness or the hypocrisy. And let me take you to a verse in Jude, where Jude, a small book that we don't often read, but it packs a wallop here. And Jude, beginning right at the beginning here, says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you, and they are godless men, who changes the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign and Lord." They are, this is verse 4, they are godless. Verse 8 says they reject authority. Verse 10 says they speak abusively against what they do not understand. Verse 16 says they follow their own evil desires. Verse 19 says these are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and they do not have the Spirit. Now, Jude was writing about his day, but I'm thinking it's a passage that looks like it could apply to our day. And I want to contrast briefly here, this, you know, protesting versus the concept of submission. Submission. For goodness sakes, submit. And that's not a cliche up there. For the sake of goodness, we need to submit. Which is such a scary word. It makes people cringe, this word submit. And the reason why, because a lot of people have abused this verse. You know, in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives submit to your husbands. Most every man has that verse memorized. It's like their favorite verse in the Bible. But they neglect the verse right before that that says, submit to one another out of love. Submit to one another out of love. And just as an illustration, I would tell you, Stephanie submits to me out of her reverence for God. And I submit to her because I'm not stupid, okay? So see how that works? We submit to one another. In the passage that I really want to focus on today, 1 Peter chapter 2, it parallels what we talked about last week in Romans 13, verse 1. But here in 1 Peter, Peter says this, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. As I said, this parallels Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. There is no authority except that which God has established. So here this biblical concept of submission that we don't, this is not that sermon that everybody, oh, we can't wait till Pete talks about submission. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one. No, but it's a biblical concept. It's a very important biblical concept. And I would begin here by asking, to whom are we to submit? And what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, every authority instituted among men, which is our governing authorities, it's our authorities in the church. It's the authority in the home. It's the authority. This is endless. But this is also hard. And then why is it so hard? And I would tell you it's so hard because many people have abused their authority. Many people are mean. People are sinful. And some of these people, they just think they're better than anybody else. I remember a story that a lieutenant who was on base, and he comes up to a Coke machine, and he's searching for some change for a Coke, and he couldn't find any. A private walks along, and he says, "Hey, private, you got any change?" And the private says, "Yeah, I think I got some." He says, "Hey, is that any way to address me? Let's try this again, private. Do you have any change?" "No, sir." He got the respect, but he didn't get the change. The people abuse this. You're supposed to respect me. That's what the Bible says. You're supposed to respect me. You're supposed to submit to me, and they're missing the concept of what the heart of this passage is about. But we are to submit to every authority instituted among men. Secondly, that means we are to. It says here to kings, which the passage says here the supreme authority. And I just want to focus on something here real quick. Supreme authority, the word supreme in Greek, huperchanti, I think that's how you say it. I'm going to come back to that in a minute here. Supreme authority, huperchanti. Even if that person is fallible, even if that person is sinful. And then you think, did Peter just make this up out of no place? That everybody's supposed to submit? Which, I mean, Paul said it too, and Paul and Peter, I mean, they're led by the Holy Spirit, so obviously this is a passage from God, but what's the origin of this? Where did this come from? And let me take it back quickly here to the Old Testament. And do you remember a man named David? And you remember a man named Saul? Saul was the king at the time, and Saul was very jealous of David. And Saul twice ordered that his men kill David, and they refused. And one time, Saul tried to kill David himself. And David had the opportunity, I think twice, that David had the opportunity to take Saul's life. But David refused. He says, it was in 1 Samuel 24, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." Or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. David wouldn't touch Saul, although he had the opportunity to take him out. He had good reason to take him out. I mean, Saul was trying to take David out, but he refused to kill Saul. And let me share a verse here in Romans 5, verse 3. It says, "We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance and character and hope." So you see here, in a way, that David was in submission to the authority that God had set up, Saul, even though that authority was bad. He was a tyrant. He was wrong. But David submitted to that authority, even though his life was in danger. And to point out something else here, through this submission to that authority, to that wrongful authority, during this time of suffering, David learned character, he learned integrity, he learned trust, he learned respect for authority, even authority that was unjust. And during this time of suffering, David received clarity about who he was, who his enemy was, and who his friends were. And through this time of suffering, David attracted a following from people who were distressed and in debt and discontented. And during this time of suffering, David wrote many of the Psalms. Through this time of submission to unjust authority, what is God's will for you? I mean, even when the authority is evil, when the authority is wrong, when the authority is messed up, David wouldn't touch the Lord's anointed. Is there a lesson there for us? So when Peter says, submit to every authority instituted among men, submit to kings as supreme authority. Peter wrote this during the time of Nero, Emperor Nero, who was cruel and unjust. Tim Keller, he writes, the increasingly secular West is only just beginning to experience the level of hostility that the first century believers faced. The 21st century persecuted church experiences it every day. Worldwide, you get outside of America, Christians are being persecuted by their governments daily. And what is God's will for these Christians who are being persecuted by their very own governments? Tim Keller goes on, he says, it is this type of state which the apostles tell the Christian to submit to. What do you think about that? And especially next week, in light of the American Revolution. So submit to every authority instituted among men, submit to kings as the supreme authority, and to governors whose job it is to punish lawbreakers and to protect the freedoms of law-abiding citizens. That's what they do. They protect the lawbreaker, but doing that, they're protecting our freedoms as law-abiding citizens. It goes on here, submit to, you go to verse 17 here, show proper respect to everyone. 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 Philippians 2 verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And that word better is the same word used, the Greek word I mentioned earlier, the kings, the supreme authority, huperchani, better, who treat everyone as superior to you. Everyone. Everyone. The default of the default position of a Christian is to treat all people better than yourself. We humble ourselves and make ourselves servants to all, just like Jesus did. That is the Christian worldview. Now, how do you do this? How do we submit? Once again, 1 Peter 2, verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Goes on and says, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. And another parallel verse in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, to show true humility towards all men. So when you look at these verses, when you look at all the verses on this subject here, and what do you see here? One thing I see here, what we need to do, how do we show submission? Respectfully, considerately, humbly. And think about this. Have you ever watched before? And I don't know why. I get into politics way too much, and now and then you'll watch something, you know, where the congressmen are talking to each other, you know, to my good friend across the aisle, and they say a bunch of nasty stuff about him. But to my good friend across the aisle, and it just is always coming out, why do they do that? And I'm thinking, I don't know, but I'm thinking that foundation is right here from these scriptures, that they show proper respect even though they hate each other. And then I got to thinking about this, that what I'm trying to say today should be more than just our words. You can't just say, hey, I just, you know, to my good friend who I can't stand, really. But, you know, it's got to be more than just words. It's got to be more than action. This needs to be a heart thing. Because your good friend across the aisle, or your good friend across the street, or your good friend, you know, at the place of work who you can't stand, they are created in the image of God. They are children of God, just like you are a child of God. God loves that person just like he loves you. Although that person might not be living for God, God loves that. That person might be the prodigal son right now who needs to be loved. And it's so, I'm thinking, if you can't do it from the heart to submit and to respect everyone, begin, okay, my thought here, begin with your words and then with your actions, and hopefully in doing so, eventually it will truly be from the heart. That you love them, you submit to them as your fellow brother or sister in Christ, you respect them, you're considerate to them, you show true humility towards them because you know God loves them. As David treated Saul, who tried to kill him, he is God's. In that case, he's God's anointed. And I'm thinking, in that way, aren't we all God's anointed? Every person has God's seal on them. Who are we to make war against the people that God loves, the people that God is trying, that Jesus died on the cross to save? And you and I are getting in the way when we don't follow the Bible here, when we're not living according to the Word of God. So how do we do this? Respectfully, considerately, humbly, even when we disagree. I go back to Jude. Here it says that even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him. He just simply said, respectfully, the Lord rebuke you. But that's as far as the archangel Michael would take it. He wouldn't go any further than that. And don't you want to? Oh, yeah. I mean, you're the devil, and I hate you, and I can't stand you, and I'm going, ugh. But the archangel, he wouldn't do that. He was respectful. The Lord rebuke you. So we do it respectfully, considerately, humbly. And we do it as free men and women. Live as free men. See, you're nobody's slave. The king is not your master. God is your master. And you're doing it not because of the king, but you're doing it because of God, because of your loyalty to God, your love for God, because this is what God has asked of you. And we serve God. We serve God alone, but we serve God by serving others. Martin Luther King, he says, the Christian man is the most free lord of all. We're royalty. We are children of God. And subject to none is what Martin Luther King said. The Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. Out of our obedience to God, out of loyalty, our love for God, we are free and we use that freedom to serve. We are free to serve. And I wish that more Christians would use their freedom in such a way that God can use it to advance his kingdom. Use your freedom to serve God and serve God by serving others. And third thing here, how do we submit? As servants of God, we serve God by submitting to others, honoring others, being respectful to others. We serve God by being obedient to Jesus Christ, and never in a way that is disobedient to Jesus Christ. When you submit, and see, here's the problem, when you submit to the king, to the governor, to whatever the authorities are, when you submit to them, is it in contrast with what God has called you to do? Can I submit to these governing authorities when they're asking me to do something opposing God? No, you cannot. You can't do that. We submit in service to God. Now think about this, Ananias and Sapphira. I've used this several times. Ananias and Sapphira, this is Acts chapter 5, where Ananias was caught in a lie, and Peter said, How can you lie to God like this? And then in walks his wife, Sapphira, and Peter asked her the same question, you know, is this the money that you received for this property? And she said, yes, it is. And how can you be in agreement with your husband? Well, the Bible says submit, you know. I mean, she didn't say that, but that's a logical argument. You know, she was in submission to her husband. That's a case where the wife should not submit to her husband. She was held accountable for her sin. So if the authority over you is asking you to do something that is sinful, you have to oppose it. John MacArthur, the past week or two, he's a preacher out in California, very, very famous preacher. I've got several of his books. Grace Community Church out in L.A. He came out with a statement last week. This was on the news or places, that his church will not follow the California mandate to shut down. The California mandate. All the California churches are supposed to be closed right now due to COVID. So can't do that. Can't do that. He said we cannot and will not acquiesce to a government imposed moratorium on our weekly congregational worship or other regular corporate gatherings. Compliance would be disobedience to our Lord's clear commandment. So John MacArthur, mega church, very famous preacher nationwide, he comes out with that statement. And I'm thrilled he came out with that statement. I'm thinking he should have came out with that months ago. Been very frustrating to me. Where's the churches been in all this? They just all closed down. Very frustrating to me. As a result of him taking a stand, the city of Los Angeles has issued a cease and desist letter threatening a $1,000 fine a day to the church if they do not follow the government's order. What would you do? If you were part of that church, what would you do? John, you got to stop. We got to close down. Or would you back him and say, yes, here's my money. Whatever we got to do. Let's stand against this unjust authority right here. And also, not only has the government threatened him with a fine, he's also being slandered by the media. Somebody wrote, John MacArthur loves his Bible more than his neighbors. And it breaks my heart. And you also see it, and I didn't look these things up, but you've heard the stories about the baker and the florist and the photographer who the world's just coming against them. And they're trying to take a stand. I will love you. I will do what I can. I will help out where I can. I cannot go against my convictions with God. Those are some old stories. I don't know if you're familiar with these stories. There is a time where you say, I want to submit to the governing authorities. And I will submit to the governing authorities here, 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 and here. But, everywhere that doesn't ask me to go against my walk with God. But when it asks you to go against your walk with God, you've got to stand up. No, I can't do that. And this is going to look different for everybody. There's going to be a lot of gray areas here where God has convicted you about something that he's not convicted me about. Or he's convicted me, but he's not convicted you. And I can't really show you a verse that, thou shalt not, One thing that does come to mind, the world seems like it's against spanking your children. I'm all about spanking my children. I love it. Educating your children. There's all kinds of different views and philosophies about educating your children. And these are big areas. These are not just little areas. So when the government says, how you can and how you cannot, and God tells you what you must do, are you going to listen to your government or are you going to listen to your God? It's a huge question for today's Christian person. I think there's a lot of times that we ignore what God is telling us. God gets ignored, and that's wrong. All right, moving on. I spent way too long there. As servants of God, fourth thing I want to say here about how to submit in a way that honors everybody. We submit in a way that honors everybody. And notice this once again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. And then it goes on, love the brotherhood of believers. And then it goes on, fear God. And then it goes on, honor the king. Where it says honor the king, that's only 1/4 of the verse. So if that's the only thing you're camping out on, if that's the only thing you're hanging your hat on, to honor the king, submit to the governing authorities, and you're neglecting the rest of this, we are to honor everybody, we are to show proper respect to everybody, these two things have to be in balance. How can I honor the king and love my neighbor at the same time? How do I show honor to the king and honor to the widow? And honor to the orphan, and honor to the immigrant, and honor to the homeless, and honor to the poor. So you can't just do one and neglect the rest. That would be wrong. Martin Luther King, once again, he says, one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. He explains, laws that lift up man are just. Laws that degrade man are unjust. And he went on to say, peaceful protests are designed to force conversations on those issues when society refuses to have them. There is a time to protest. All right, so I say all this, and if you got your outlines, turn to the back page of the outline and think, why? Why submit? Why submit? What happens when we submit with respect and with honor and with love? And my answer is, people see Jesus. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Is this a hard teaching to submit? Nobody wants to submit. It goes against your human nature, your flesh. I don't want to submit. But by submitting, it's an opportunity for people to see Jesus Christ, for his name to be glorified, not blasphemed among the Gentiles because of our hypocrisy. I want my life to point to Jesus. That's why this is an important issue. And I would tell you, we submit to the governing authorities, to all these institutions. We submit for the Lord's sake as an act of worship. This is a part of my worship, is I humble myself and submit. Not necessarily to the king, but to the King of Kings who's asked me to do so. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. And I would tell you, it's an act of love. It's an act of love for God who did everything he could to redeem me. I know my salvation is sure because of what Jesus did on that cross. So if he's going to ask me to do this, even if I don't understand it, I'll do this because I love him. Because out of my love for God, out of my love for country. And when I say country, I mean my fellow brothers and sisters in throughout the world. I submit out of love for God and love for others. And fourth, it's an act of trust, not knowing how this submission will be used by God, but knowing it's what I'm being called to do. I can't see the big picture, but I can see the command. And I'm okay with doing it because that's what Christ has called me to do. I want to read two stories to you. I got plenty of time. I can read three or four stories, so whatever. But let me read two things here to you. One out of Matthew chapter 22, the story of, you know, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. You remember when the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus? They try to trap him. They say, we know you're a man of integrity. Ha, right. That's like to my friend across the aisle. Yeah, right. And that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, why was this a loaded question? This was a loaded question because these men wanted liberty. These men wanted justice. These men wanted revolution. And Jesus knew what they wanted. And he says, show me the coin. And he says, whose head is on it? It's Caesar's. And he says, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God. What did they want? They wanted liberty. They wanted justice. They wanted revolution. What did Jesus want? Jesus wanted the eternal redemption of mankind. He's going after a much bigger prize. He sees the big picture. He's working on something so superior to what we want. And we can't see it. So can we trust him? Do we trust him? I want to read one more story here. So think about that one, that Jesus knows more than what we know. And Jesus is working on something bigger than what we're working on. This is why we need to listen to Jesus and follow Jesus and be obedient to Jesus. One more passage I want to give you, Jeremiah chapter 29, talks about this. What was it, verse 1? This is a text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem, to the surviving elders among the exiles. They were carried off to Babylon in exile, captured from Israel, their homeland. They were sent off into exile. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Nope, that's stop right there. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Are you kidding? These are our enemies. These are the people who conquered us. These are the people who are enslaving us and taking us out of our homeland and into exile. And you're telling us to work for peace and prosperity of their city? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you off into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, okay, that's a weird text, but I'm thinking it applies to us because you and I, this world is not our home. But God has called us to this world. We're in exile here on this world, in this foreign land. Our citizenship is in heaven. And what's he telling? Be good citizens here on this earth while you're in exile in this foreign land for the Lord's sake, so that his name will be exalted among the nations, for the sake of the lost, so they will see God, so they will come to God, so they will submit to God, and for your own sake, for your peace and prosperity, so that you will prosper. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That's what you and I are. I'm applying that to us in our world here. We are to seek the peace and prosperity of our city, of our nation, of our world. That's what God is calling us to while we're here in exile. Seek the peace and prosperity of our city and pray for them and be a blessing to them. Leslie Newbegin, if that's how you say her name, his name, said, the victory of the church over corrupt Roman power did not come by seizing the levers of power. It was won when the victims knelt down in the Colosseums and prayed in the name of Jesus for the emperor. In so doing, the entire mystique of the empire, its spiritual power, was unmasked, disarmed, and rendered powerless when God's people began to pray for the city and pray for the emperor. And it submitted to the governing authorities out of love for God as an act of worship to God, trusting God was going to use this to make his name great. I want to close today asking you to pray with me. Now, I've got a prayer that I'm hoping I put up there, right? A prayer. I want us to pray this out loud together. God, help us to honor our authorities. Can you see that? Pray that with me. God, help us to honor our authorities, speak out for truth and justice, and point people to Jesus. Give us a humble and submissive heart for your sake. Help our leaders make wise decisions, and please bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Is this a hard message for you? Is this a message that God is working on you? Anything that you need to act on? Anything that you need to change? Anything that you need to do? Do you understand the big picture? Why this is important? Do you understand? I'm hoping you see that this is a timely message. This is what the world needs to hear right now. This is what Christians need to be doing right now if we're going to be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. To your heart, lead me to your